The reading today is from the Gospel of John, which can be found on page 89 in the Pew Bibles. And we're reading from chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, page 89. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born anew.' The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit."
While we're seated, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help me to teach it correctly today. Please speak to us out of your word, and please give us wills that long to obey your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is always good to be back, and I am glad on this occasion to be with you. And I'm glad too that the series has been entitled Good News by John. I don't know if there's good news to be had in your part of the world. In our part of the world, if you put the news on at 7 o'clock at night, it's never good. Nothing like having all the horrors of the world gushed into your living room, one after the other. I mean, in the good old days, it was 6 months before news got to Australia, and we knew you'd rectified the mess before it even got to us. And it took hours equally longer to get to you. So you said, "Oh, well, what can you expect from them down there? They always muck everything up, don't they?" But now, it's not newsworthy in our part of the world unless it's very bad news. And the worse it is, the more it's likely to be upgraded. Now, there's good news to be had. And I want you to go home today with good news ringing in your ears. There's good news because you can be sure. There's good news because you can be sure about God. Can you really be sure that he's there? Is it for real? And the answer is, it's for real. You can know. And that is good news. There's good news to be had about life after death. Death is not the end. You can know about it. You can be sure. And it's very good news. And it's good news to know that you can face death and not have the wits scared out of you. And that's good news. It's very good news. You can know where you'll go after death. Well, that could be good news or bad news. But it's possible to know. And it's possible because of Jesus. All of it is possible because of the person of Jesus. He is at the center of everything God has always been on about, and he is at the center of everything in Christianity, and he ought to be at the center of our own lives. And in the 3 weeks that I've got with you, this week, next, and the one after, I'm going to focus our minds on Jesus himself as he deals with 3 different people. We'll hear him speaking to them. We'll see him acting with them. And as we see him with them, We'll hear him speak to us as he speaks to them. We'll see him acting, and the whole possibility of what he could do for us will open up as we have a look. Well, what is the good news for today? The good news for today is that you could make a fresh start. You could be born again. You could be born by the Spirit of God. You could actually walk out of the building a new person. That is the good news for today. Have a look, will you, at the Bible reading that was read for us, and it's on page 89 of the Bibles that you've got in the pew with you. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him. Some people have suggested that Nicodemus came in the night time because he was too ashamed to be seen in the daytime. Other people have said that we've got this piece of information because Nicodemus came when he didn't want to be interrupted, have a free and easy talk with Jesus. My own view is, given the way John writes his gospel, it's symbolic. He is a man who is in the dark. And we know that he is in the dark. Have a look at verse 10. Jesus says, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this?" It's like as if Jesus is saying to him, the small children in kindergarten ought to have grasped this. Any child who goes to a Sunday school every once in a while should have been able to pick this up. You're a great professor at a theological college and it hasn't dawned on you yet. He's completely in the dark, not to put too fine a point on it. "Now, you're a great teacher of Israel," he says, "and you have not understood this." This man's in the dark. But before we get to the end, he's walking out towards the light. And I'm hoping that that's the sort of person you are. That you're a person who's coming towards the light in Jesus. Now, what is it that this man is in the dark about? Why, in verse 3, "Unless a man is born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 7, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." You shouldn't be at all surprised. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am surprised. And I'm sure Nicodemus was surprised. Let me tell you what sort of a man he is. Being of the Pharisees and a teacher of Israel, this man is a good churchman. Now, from my vantage point, I can't tell if you're a regular here or not. Every now and again, people make mistakes when they're introduced to me and say, "This is the first time I've come. Don't tell me." I don't know. I can't tell those who are regular from those who are irregular. They all seem to me to have one head, two eyes, one nose, one mouth, and walk sort of the same. But this man, he was regular. He was here every Tuesday at 1:04. So he didn't have to go right up the back there and seen by everybody. He knew too well you had to get here early. He's a regular as Nicodemus. And I'll tell you what else Nicodemus is. He is good through and through. He is scrupulously honest in business. He is a law and order man. He is a leader amongst the church people. And he is a Bible man. He believes the Bible, and he tries to order his life according to it. And that is why I am surprised. And I am sure that he was surprised when Jesus says, "Don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again." And ladies and gentlemen, don't you be at all surprised when I say it to you. Because you need to be born again too. none of those things take him into the spirit world. Not his goodness, not his honesty, not his church attendance, not even his Bible reading. Take him into the true spirit world. Only being born again can do that. Jesus is, and here's the good news, the first piece of the good news. The spirit world is a reality. Look at verse 6, will you? The spirit world is a reality. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is spirit. And I want to tell you, let me ask you if you know anything about this world. Do you know anything about the reality of the friendship with the living God? Do you know the reality of you having entered into personal friendship with the living God? For many people, they view God rather like the Queen. They hold him in the very highest of regards and wave or cheer at the back of the crowd, depending on their personality. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, have you ever been invited to the palace for informal tea? It's mind-blowing, isn't it? If I ever got an invitation to that, I'd never be able to take it. I'd have collapsed on the floor. The shock would be so great. But I'm saying, do you know what it is, if you don't mind me putting it crudely like this, to have been invited formally to informally to tea with the living God? And I'm saying there are people in this building who know it only too well. Do you know what it is when you read the Bible, for it to open up before you and for you to encounter that living God and to hear his voice speak to you in a life-changing way? Do you know what it is when you go to your prayers to cultivate friendship with that living God? And that friendship which began somewhere else is day by day made bigger and more wonderful as you speak with him and share your life and open up to him in prayer. Or is prayer a bit like the, what is it you dial? 00. What do you dial when you're in trouble? Oh, 999. Yes. Because they never do that in Australia because you're not too sure if you can recognize the 9. So you've got to go to the end of the dial. Do you know what it is to have your prayers so that they really are good times of friendship with God? Or do you only ever go in times of terrible crisis and it's a 999, oh God help us now. And you're not sure whether there's anybody there to hear you and you're not sure if it's any good or anything. Do you know what it is to be so concerned about people that you long that they will know the friendship with the living God that you've got? Or do I sound as if I've dropped in from another planet? I'm saying that world is a real world. And it's that world of the spiritual reality that I want to talk about. It's good news. Life is more than just the material. Life is more than just here and now. And Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But we can take you into that big world of the spiritual dimension. And I want to say to you, it's very good news. It's very good news. It is real. And you can be part of that great and marvelous world. Where is that for you? Is that real? Or is it so unreal it's almost beyond comprehension that you could enjoy church, that you could enjoy the Bible, that you could enjoy prayer, that you could truly long, like the psalmist does, to be with God? Now, nothing short of a radical restart, as fundamental as being born, will bring you into that. That's what Jesus says. And that's the second piece of good news. Because if that opens up as a possibility, you say, well, chappo, it's no good you're raving on any longer. It's no good anybody like me. I'd never make it. Well, I know that. You won't. That is why the second piece of good news, verse 8, Only God can do that for us. The wind, verse 8, the wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it's come from or where it's going to. So it is for everyone who is born of the Spirit. Perhaps at that moment the gentle breeze blew in the evening, and the tree rustled outside the window, and they felt it whisk across their cheeks. And he said, where did it come from? Where did it come from? Where is it going to? You feel it. You hear the wind. If you don't know where it's come from, he said, the new birth is like that. It is a gracious work which the Spirit of God does. And open a window in your mind, open a window in your will. And he gently blows through as he begins to open that wistful longing. Is it just possible that I could start again? Is it just possible that I could make it? Is it just possible that God could convince me that his Son Jesus is truly the Son of God? Is it just possible that I could live in that world that it is on about? And I'm saying God can do it for you. You won't do it for yourself. There's no way in the world you will. But God is the God who brings us to the new birth. He can do it. As we read the Bible, as we hear the Bible taught, he blows through and changes us. Now there'll be some people whose pride will be so great that they go on as if this supernatural world is not there. There is nothing like the blind for stumbling in the dark. Can I say, when you can't see, it is a world which is totally outside of your as a possibility. But I can tell you it's a world we're living in. And I can't bear the fact that you could miss out on it. It is so good. It is so good because it brings meaning into the whole of the rest of life. You yourself today could enter into friendship with the living God. And that is good news. And I want to ask you if you're open to that as a possibility. Would you give the window just a little bit of a push open and say in the depths of your heart, Spirit of God, blow through me. Blow through me today and show me of this real world. God can do for us what we cannot do for him. I don't know where it is with you. From my vantage point, I can see some, I was about to say old faces, I mean familiar faces, some old friends. But for most of you, I don't know if you've walked in from the dark today. But I'm saying don't walk away back into the dark. Today is a great day to come before the living God and to say, please, in my heart, mind and will, convince me that it is so. Open up that possibility that the breath and wind of the Spirit might come in and bring you to the new birth. Let me tell you the third piece of good news and then I'll climb down. The third piece of the good news is this. God has done something, excuse me, God has done something so that this new birth can become a reality in our lives. And what is it that God has done? Will you cast your eye down to verse 14, please? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. God's taken action on our part, and he sent his Son to die. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus lifted up on the cross, so that if I put my trust in him, I might have eternal life, which is another way of John talking about living in that spirit world. God has taken action on your behalf. You know, I come from what is known as a church sending family, as opposed to a church going family. That is, my parents sent me to church, but didn't go. I didn't like church, and I especially didn't like sermons. They took so long to finish. So I used to count the bricks from the floor to the ceiling to whine away the time. And my eyes were never all that good. I often used to lose focus on the way up, and I played a game like snakes and ladders. When I lost the count, I went back to the floor again. And one day, out of sheer boredom, I stopped and listened. You know, I got the shock of my life. I'd always assumed he was telling people to be good. I didn't want to be good, so I didn't bother to listen. He wasn't telling people to be good at all. You know what he told me? God had sent his son into the world to die for me so that I could be forgiven. Well, I can tell you I was shaken where I sat. God loved me and sent his son to die for me. Could you beat that? So that I could be forgiven. So that the Spirit might come in to a forgiven man. God said, I must have heard that 1,000 times. Well, I didn't hear it. It must have been said over me 1,000 times. It washed straight over. Has it really taken root in your thinking? Jesus Christ died for you. Would you like to say it inside your head? I'll do anything to get it in. Jesus Christ died for me, so that I could be forgiven. Do you know you can walk out of the building today completely forgiven because Jesus Christ has died for you? Any of these things opened up as possibilities to you before? The Spirit come in and convince you about Jesus. Complete forgiveness and a new beginning. I was driving home, I suppose, middle of last year. I'd been preaching on a Sunday morning. I came round the back of Bankstown, near where I live. I was held up against traffic lights at a T-junction. Opposite the T-junction, there was a park. A little park had been built by the Rotary Club. And in it, there was a slide for children, a seesaw and a swing. There was a young Australian walking around there, enormous biceps. Out of his T-shirt came an arm that was like a leg, and there were tattoos down there and tattoos down there. In the park, a tiny little baby boy, still bandy-legged in nappies, lurched towards this man. Like a panther, he leapt out, picked him up under the armpits and rocketed him straight up into the sky. And while he was on the way up, I could hear the boy say, "Do it again!" I mean, he hadn't even hit the top. The man caught him, swung him between his legs, and rocketed him up again. And there was a peal of laughter from the little boy, a peal of laughter from the man. I can tell you that Australian males are not given to much show of affection with their children. Certainly not publicly. But he was so besotted with the kid, he didn't give a hoot. He sat on the swing and cradled the little guy in his lap and rocked him backwards and forwards. You think God loved his son any less than that young Australian bloke? He loved him. But he loved you so much that he let him die so that you could be forgiven. So you can make a fresh start and be born again. It's good news. And it could happen to you. Wouldn't today be a good day to come before the living God and say, "I want to open my whole life before you. Blow through it like the wind with your Spirit. Teach me about your Son Jesus, so that I can love him. Teach me that I can be sure that I'm forgiven, so that I'll love you more. Bring me into that big spirit world." I'm going to pray like that in a moment. There's good news. The spirit world is real.
There's good news. God can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He can bring us into it and bring us to the new birth. There's really good news. God has taken action on your behalf in Christ and sent him to die for our forgiveness. You might be the sort of person for whom this is brand new. I don't know if you've noticed or not, you probably haven't had a chance to look, but right at the very back of the hymn sheet, it talks about a thing called basic facts. Well, you can read. I want to commend it to you. You might say, look, if you knew what I was like, the possibility of what you've said today is so... it's not. Come along and get some more information. Come along where you can be taught the Bible, where you can learn to live in this world. Fill it in. Give it to somebody who's got a badge on. Give it to anybody. They'll find their way in. Drop it on the floor. The verger will pick it up. In fact, if you put it in the bin on the way out, I've seen the staff often going through that bin. They'll probably find it there too. Don't be surprised, Jesus says. Don't be surprised when I say to you today, you must be born again. I'm going to pray now in the way that I did before. Would you like to join me in prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we want to say that we want to open up our lives before you so that the Spirit might blow through our lives and convince us that Jesus is your Son, and that we can be forgiven and start again because of his marvellous death for us. Thank you for good news. In Jesus' name, amen.